Salvation by grace through faith, the Christological meaning of marriage, the resplendent armor of God. These are some of the themes that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the New Concordia Commentary on Ephesians. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians.
It upsets me when I hear some of what's said in our political debates right now. But more than that, it really hits at my heart. I wonder, you know, did they not go and hear the same lessons I did in Sunday school?
Having a foundation in faith that is certain allows one to have a much more searching skepticism of any of the theories proposed by the mind of man.
We rejoice in suffering not because, hey, it feels good. It feels terrible. It feels awful. The joy comes from knowing God's presence in our suffering. And then we rely not on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead.
Northern Illinois Chainsaw Drivers, love, issues, etc.
The South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina church shootings have put me in mind of something lately. You know, you wonder about it every time you walk into church. You think, is this a safe place? And a lot of the reaction to the story that has come out of this tragic slaying of so many there in Charleston has basically focused on how can we protect ourselves on Sunday morning from this. And I don't know whether that's a good direction to go or not. I do wonder, though, what did this young man think he knew? What did he know about Christianity that drew him to that church with murderous intent? Low-hanging fruit? A hostility toward Christianity? What else? I'm not talking about his motives. I'm talking about what is it that Christianity presented to the world that said, you walk in there, you're going to be able to kill as many people as you want. And, tragically, he did. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to continue a conversation with Pastor David Peterson, actually getting his pastoral thoughts on the Charleston, South Carolina shootings. He actually felt the need to address it in the course of a sermon recently. We'll see what he has to say about that. Pastor Tom Baker will join us after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on God delivering Israel in Exodus chapters 12 and 13. Now you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Why did you feel compelled to address this new, what people would say, news story in the course of your sermon?
Well, I think it's always kind of appropriate if the thing is on people's hearts and minds, if they're disturbed and bothered by it, and we need theological responses to things. It also, I felt fit actually quite well with the gospel that I was preaching on, which was the parables of the lost sheep, coin, and son, or prodigal son. And because the context of that those parables is that Jesus is receiving sinners and eating with them, and the Pharisees are upset about it. And the other thing on this is that those nine people who lost their lives last week are Christian martyrs. I mean, he hated them because they were black, and he wanted to start a race war, but he sought them out because they were Christians. I mean, he went after them because that was his strategy. He didn't go to a NAACP meeting or to a Nation of Islam meeting. He went to a church because he knew, rightly, he expected that a black church would accept a white man, that Christians would be welcoming and accepting of him and even rejoice that he was there, and they did. And he was there for an hour with them, and he heard the word of God with them, and they were glad he was there. And he exploited that, right? He saw that as a weakness, that that they would accept him, that they would let their guard down, that they'd be non-judgmental in that way, and so forth. And so it was that particular, I mean, it wasn't accidental. And I think it's that they died because they're Christians. They died because they went to church that night to hear the word of God, and they died because they loved him who hated them. And that's horrible and tragic and heartbreaking, of course. But God bless them for that. I'm not ashamed of them for that weakness. In fact, I rejoice in it, and I thank God for them. It was a perfect example, or an example of perfect Christian charity, to receive him in that way. It would have never been reversed, right? He would have never received them. And their response to it has been very impressive and very uplifting, even though it's obviously a very sad situation. I don't know if you listened to the arraignment on Friday, any of it, but they had the victims' families come in and address this man as he was being arraigned. And they stood up one after another and told him they forgive him and they love him and they hope he repents and Jesus loves him. Now, of course, I'm sure that was painful for them, and they've got years of sorrow, these survivors, to come with this, and it's going to be difficult for them, and it's not easy for them to forgive him. And they don't mean it shallowly, but what they're doing is what Christians do. They're confessing what they know to be true, what they believe about God and his love for all people, and they're confessing against themselves, and they're forcing themselves to say the right things, even if part of their hearts and part of their minds is screaming for vengeance. And it's quite astounding and amazing that he utterly failed to start a race war. He didn't have a very good strategy in that sense, because they've responded with such compassion and love to their neighbors and to the community. So it's really a remarkable example, and I thank God for those people and for that church and for their willingness to accept strangers in their midst who might hate them and to love him. And I hope and pray that they can be an example for us.
Okay. I had exactly the same thoughts you did. I thought of Jesus' famous words of warning, but of promise to his disciples. I send you out as sheep among wolves. That's exactly what I thought about. Wolf enters the fold and the sheep say, "Welcome, brother," not knowing that he is, in fact, a wolf.
Well, I think they probably had some idea. He's a disturbed man, and I can't believe there weren't some evidence in the way he was behaving and acting. But I think that they had some idea, but they were hoping and praying for him while he was with them, and they were rejoicing in the opportunity that some disturbed person had come to them who might receive this gospel. But of course, that is what it is. He was a wolf, whether they recognized it fully or not. They were trying to love him. I mean, they were loving him, and they did love him, and they're still loving him. God bless them. These are really the first American martyrs in quite some time, and we might very well be entering into a new era of martyrdom. It certainly seems as though persecution of Christianity is somewhat inevitable at this point in that it's coming upon us in the United States very quickly. Maybe not, but it sure seems like it's going to. I mean, we don't know what the immediate future holds, but we know and we confess that those nine people God brought to himself in mercy, and this was the means by which he brought them to himself, and even though it was horrific and the survivors have to endure without them, he did it in mercy, and he has done it. I'm convinced he's done it as an example to us of what Christian charity and love and welcoming one another looks like. So in that sense, it's a wonderful thing. We do know what the end is. While we don't know what the immediate future is, we know that God works all things together for good, even martyrdom and suffering, even violence and sin. God works all things together for good. And what that man meant for evil, God will use for good. Now, we may not know in this life exactly how God uses that for good, because hindsight's not 20/20 either, and that's part of God's hidden will. He hasn't revealed that to us. What he's revealed to us is that all things work together for good eventually. What he's revealed to us is that he loves us in Christ and is reconciled to himself, that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for all people, even those who refuse it, and that it is our joy and privilege to proclaim that message to the world and to share in this kingdom in that way.
you said we might be entering into a new era of Christian martyrdom. Go into a little more depth. What do you mean by that? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it does seem as though the world's coming crashing down around us, and that, with persecution might very well come martyrdom. I mean, this man sought out the Christians. He sought out black Christians. Of course, he wanted to kill black people, but he sought out black Christians to kill. And I think that he saw Christians as weak. They won't fight back. They'll welcome him in. It'll be easy. And I think in some ways, when the world is becoming openly evil, America is becoming openly evil and hostile to morality and decency, so that we don't know the difference between right and wrong. We don't protect life. We don't protect marriage. We don't protect things that natural law proclaims as good and necessary. You said low-hanging fruit. I thought that was an apt illustration of what we very well might be. And that's very much, somewhat how it went in the ancient world at various times, that Christians were a good people to blame for things that were going wrong in the empire. And I think I sense that somewhat, and maybe it's falsely, but I sense that somewhat now. I mean, I hear people say things like, religion causes war. And what they mean by that, weirdly, is not, radical Islam in the Middle East. What they mean by that is, Christians who are trying to, start crusades and do terrible things. I mean, we're being blamed for things that are ridiculous. It seems like it's willfully misunderstood and misreported by the media and by culture and by politicians as to what Christianity is and what it's about, and we're being blamed for things and accused of opinions that we don't hold. So that's what I mean. That seems to me like the sort of thing that precedes times when it's okay to kill Christians because they're really not real people, or they're not good people, or we're better off without them.
Let's take a break. A couple other questions for Pastor David Peterson, getting his pastoral thoughts on the Charleston church shooting. And then Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be looking at Exodus chapters 12 and 13, God rescuing Israel. We simply call it the Exodus. We'll find out what it entails in a few minutes when we're joined by Pastor Tom Baker. More with Pastor David Peterson right after this. Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's LCIW.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at LCIW.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. He's also, well, we're actually getting his pastoral thoughts on the Charleston church shooting. He's also going to be one of the speakers, if I'm not mistaken, at a one-day conference on marriages and weddings that's going to be held Tuesday, June the 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Pastor Peterson, tell us a little bit about this Gottesdienst event.
It's going to be a one-day event. It starts at about 10 o'clock. We're going to have three papers presented, one on the theology of marriage, and then I'm going to speak on the marriage rite, the liturgy, why it's that way and what we do and what it means. And I've forgotten now what the third one is.
Pastor Heath Curtis on the dissolution of marriages.
There we go. Very good. And in fact, he was telling me about that. He's very excited about it. He's been reading this Roman Catholic stuff about annulments and so forth, and he's got quite a bit of interesting insight, apparently. So I think it's going to be very stimulating. There's also worship. We'll have good preaching, good worship at the congregation there. It'll be a very nice day.
Folks, you can find out more about this one-day Gottesdienst conference next Tuesday. That's June the 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We got more information at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, and the public is invited to attend. That's June 30th, Tuesday, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Look for more information at issuesetc.org. Pastor Peterson, you said there that this young man was attracted to the congregation in Charleston because he saw the weakness of Christians, and you say you rejoice in that weakness. That's precisely what it is to be Christian in many ways. How would you respond to someone who says, well, you know, what we need to do is we need to portray a profile of strength to a world that is out to persecute us or to kill us? The message needs to be no one messes with us as Christians. How would you respond?
Well, I mean, that's not Jesus. Right, that's not Jesus, who has all of the strength in the world and the legions of the angels at his command, and yet submits to this horrible thing. Now, we're not Jesus, of course, and I don't mean to say that Christians can't or shouldn't defend themselves and one another, but the weakness that I meant of our brothers and sisters there in Charleston was that they were welcoming, that they were willing to take somebody who was dangerous and love him. That was their weakness. They weren't judgmental, they weren't militant, they weren't angry, they were kind and gentle and loving. And you know what, that's the world views that as weakness. It's not really weakness. It might be weakness in the way men count weakness, but it's actually a great strength and peace and joy from being in Christ and trusting that he will take care of us. Right, he will provide, and even if the way he provides is by letting some idiot, lunatic, horrible person kill us, that will still be God's means. God is in charge. It is really interesting in the martyrs of the early church that in the confession that they make, we kind of expect them or sort of wish that their confession would be, Jesus loves me, right? Jesus died on the cross for me. My sins are forgiven. But they never are. I mean, when you read these things, what they always end up confessing is, God is the creator. And of course, at first it's sort of like, oh, I wish these were sort of more, you know, explicitly Christian. Well, they are, because the context of martyrdom, as it was there, is always that the person who is doing the killing is, claiming that he has the power, that I have the authority of life and death, right? That's what Pilate says to Jesus. And that's what the killer says. I'm more powerful than you. I'm more powerful than your God. You better do what I say, and I'm going to have my way. And those Christians in Charleston, like the early church, I mean, by their actions before, during, and since then, God bless them. I'm very impressed, and I thank God for them, have been that this guy is not God, and he can't kill them. I mean, that's what the martyrs say to those who are killing them. You can't kill me. God is in charge. God will take care. God will provide. He is the creator, and at the right time, he will bring me home. And I trust in that, and I'm because Jesus has died for me. So that's the confession that they make, and that the world might interpret that as weakness, a willingness to die, but it isn't weakness, it's faith, and it's confidence in what we have in Christ.
One final question for you, Pastor Peterson. There are those who would also say, look, what Christianity really, the reason we're in first, people don't understand us and they are hostile to us and the culture is hostile to us is because we've essentially done a bad job of of PR. We need to improve our public image. We need to present ourselves and explain ourselves to the world. What do you make of that suggestion?
I think that's vanity. I mean, and I don't mean to say that we should be stupid or that we shouldn't make efforts to be winsome and polite and clear and so forth. But the truth is, we're never going to convince the old Adam that he should die. And that's what Christianity, right, that the old Adam must die and the new man will be raised up. You just can't make that sound good to people. You can't make that sound good to the old flesh. And the reality is, Christianity is a radical departure from what our flesh wants. And I don't think that the answer is to sort of, you know, be more relevant and to meet them on their ground more. There's a time and a place for some of that work. I'm not disputing that. But what we really need to focus on primarily, where we need to put our emphasis, is clearly proclaiming the law and the gospel and letting the chips fall where they will. I mean, we have to tell the truth. And we trust that God works through his word. And if it doesn't seem relevant or, you know, cute or clever or whatever at the time, so be it. We're gonna preach the truth. You know, this church in Charleston, again, it wasn't some great celebrity church. It was these were good, stock, common Christians gathering together to hear God's word. And look what God is doing through them.
If the devil can't destroy the church this way, does he have other ways, less overtly violent ways to do the same?
Well, in fact, I think the less overtly violent ways have been more successful, typically, for the devil. I mean, at least historically, martyrdom, the church has flourished during these sorts of times and under this sorts of persecution. Not that it's fun for the Christians living in it, but in fact, this never seems to really work for the devil the way he thinks it's going to, even as it didn't, killing Jesus didn't work the way he thought it would. It does seem that the devil is more successful in trying to delude us into thinking that he's not real and that we can get along with the culture and nothing, you know, that's not urgent and all of those sorts of things. So, you know, Luther famously says, and we're always quoting, that the devil is God's devil. And again, this is the confession of the people in Charleston, that God is in control, that God knows what he's doing, that he works all things together for good. And even the devil bends to ultimately fulfill God's will for those who love Christ. So the devil never wins. The devil can't win. You know, he can do all sorts of things, and he can make our lives quite painful and difficult, as, of course, we do with our own sins as well. But the truth is, God will have his way. And God's word is true, grace is constant. And he calls us to rejoice even in times of pain. And he calls us to faith in this, to trust and to wait on him.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. David, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.